In a long time later, when I think Eddie, who can explain later better, he realized how many drawings he was doing without knowing that he was doing drawings. He asked me if I could think of a way to putting all these drawings together in a book, in something which would gather all of them in one piece. And that's where the first book came. It was in 2009, who was designed by Quentin Vales, who's here. And today we did, we reproduced that book in a slightly different version. I was interested in that moment of combining the drawings of Eddie with headlines from international or local newspapers, as well as with the diary of Rocheco. Although a diary was for a long time ago from now, there are certain things in it which in my mind resonated between what I was asked to do about this book. It was a little bit this idea of optimistic hopes and disillusions that Rocheco had about his own work, about society, about architecture, about the urban space. When we did the first show in Berlin in the About Change Foundation, it was an invitation to make like an open artist studio, and my idea was to ask Eddie to expose these drawings together, which are called now inversions, and the focus was about trying to develop the fiction that happens in the space between the drawing, the abstract drawing, and the political text in the background. And we also invited the art historian Michael Fried, the artist Philippe Areno, the philosopher Markus Steinweg, and the political activist Erion Veliai to discuss in their different ways and to bridge these two sides of this muted space, which is between the political background, the text, which is the focus of Eddie's mind eye, and the drawings themselves, the abstract drawings, which is the focus of the gaze of the eye. I wanted to start with to retake a question of Philippe Areno, who said that to him these are a bit like musical scores, which are like taking notes of time. It's like registering time, and whether it's possible, like in musical notations, to play them again, and by playing them again, would it reproduce the same events?
Thank you. Before I try to answer, I just make a very brief introduction, which I think is at the same time the story of this adventure with drawings. I studied art and worked as an artist, and then I died as an artist on the 12th of April 1998, when I became Minister of Culture of Albania. And I became minister by very bizarre circumstances. I was in Paris making art. I was with Henri. We were living together. And then my father died by a stroke. I went back for his funeral, and I never went back to Paris, because as only in Albania things can mix in such a way. I became minister the day of the funeral of my father. Without thinking before that I would ever enter an office. So the first state building I saw from inside was the Minister of Culture, and the first office was my office as minister. And then, of course, it was quite a trip to go in the Council of Ministers and to take part in its meetings, where I started to make this kind of things on official papers, but without thinking that I was doing any kind like art, but just trying to kill the time in the Council of Ministers. And after every meeting, the Minister of Education was near to me, used to take these remainings in the table, drawings or whatever. And then, a few years later, when I became mayor of the city, I went to visit him in the Ministry of Education for something, I don't remember. And he said to me that he was very proud of a collection, and he showed me all the drawings he had collected from me. And I felt something watching all this together. And when I went back in office, I said to my assistant that, you know, this guy is not so stupid, I thought. He has a very good collection of art. And my assistant just smiled and she said that she was also keeping this. And so but maybe she was making her own collection, but, you know, she lost the collection in a minute. And so I was doing it, and I do it all the time. I draw in meetings, I draw in conversations. The only time I don't draw in office is when international people have to come and meet me as leader of the opposition. They would not understand it. And then from there it started the cooperation with Anri. As Anri told you, with this book. And then we went on with the exhibition in Berlin, where we also did something that is like this music, like this piano with four hands, you know, piano part. And of course, it's hard to talk about things that are done totally out of any rational control. Practically, my table in office is full of colors and of pencils. And as you may see, all official papers become papers to be drawn on, because we don't have a bureaucracy so strict like in Germany. So we can afford to lose half of our documentation. So letters coming from people and basically my agenda and so on. So this is a bit the background of it. And of course then it's very interesting because it's not that you think about it and then you do it. It's that you do it and then you think about it. So it's in a way it's kind of taking notes, but in a totally different way than, you know, writing down what people are saying. And at the same time, it helps a lot to concentrate in very boring political meetings when you are not a born politician. And I discovered with pleasure that also other people have done it, politicians, I mean, to find a kind of balance. So this is how I do this, and this is how it came until here in this station, and I'm very pleased to be here. So to go back to the conversation, it's true that it's also a bit like how Philip has put it while trying to find out. But I think that what our conversations that are also included in the book, which is in the first floor, have been very revealing also to understand more about this process and to have a sense of all of it.
There is in these conversations you also in this. Conversations, you also mentioned that it's somehow, somewhere, it must be like a point, these drawings like a point of reconciliation. As if there is a urge in you which is still resisting the rest of the day. So they are part, what is interesting that is that they are part of the working time, but they refuse to be part of the working frame. So they participate in your working day, but they go out of the frame of that day.
It's true, and somehow it's like an addiction. I cannot really concentrate if I don't do it. And I need to have this in front of me and to do it, to have fruitful meetings. It's like really making two parallel things at the same time, but on one hand you are totally concentrated in the discussion, and on the other hand your hand is doing something else and the eye is kind of going from people you discuss to the paper, and this creates a space of a different way of breathing without the anxiety that normally maybe it's not normal, but that for me is there when we have to just talk politics, and when I don't have it. So it's something really, it's a space where it seems to be no space.
I remember when I was in an art student in the school and working on painting and drawing, and very often it was coming across this thing that what is important in painting is also to know when to stop it. And what I find very interesting going through all your drawings, especially the ones which are in the book, but also other ones which are not in the book, is that sometimes you can feel that some drawings are interrupted, and they are very interesting, not only in the ways how they are present visibly, but also in the way how they are interrupted. And I have guessed, and I know that the reason of the interruption is not what you are told as an advice at school, that you have to know when to stop a drawing, but it's a meeting which is broken, or a sudden event which is more important than the meeting, or the fact that you have to leave the office. So I've found it very interesting when there is another layer which impacts the decisions about the drawing, which are decisions that you don't even need to take, which is like delegating some certain issues related to visual art. And also I found it interesting when you said once that you only become aware that it is a drawing the moment you take it away from your table, or when your secretary or will take it away from the table, that's the moment you'd see it as a drawing. So until during all the moment that you're producing it, we're adding signs and traces, this is something which is not a drawing yet, or not a drawing for you.
Yeah, this is true, and they end when the day ends. They end when my assistant takes them from the table in the wrong time. Or sometimes they end and they begin again, because I have them again in front of me the day after. So it's a process that it's not connected with any aesthetic control, but it just goes on, like when everybody take notes in a block note or in a paper that is supposed to not be seen and not be shown to anyone, but just like totally without control. So.
And also maybe it's the moment for me to clarify it, because I never really asked directly. I realized that as I was going through all your drawings when we prepared your first book with the drawings, I realized that they all started with a black pen, and then there was a bit of a blue pen, like a normal big. And then eventually at some point there was the first drawing with colors, which that is the case, the one which is somewhere there with the red kiss. And it also corresponds maybe in a automatic way, without knowing, with the colors, with the starting of the painting of the colors in the city, yeah. In Tirana.
It's true, in the beginning, in the Council of Ministers, they were totally black and white, no colors, as it should be. And then, also in the ministry, when I became mayor, and we started this project of coloring buildings in the city, colors came in on my table for a totally different purpose, because we're working on plans to color buildings, old buildings from the communist time. This was practically our first initiative. I became mayor in the autumn of 2000, and with a very high expectation, and after a landslide, but practically when I entered the municipality, the budget was just nothing point something. And people wanted to see immediate change. So the first initiative as an initiative that was with very low budget, if no budget at all, was to start and paint with very strong colors the entrance road of Tirana. And in a moment the city was totally gray, totally under dust, and after 10 years of really freedom without any rule. And I remember this very first day, because it was a project financed by the European Commission to just fix some sidewalks and fix some lighting and the road, and also fix the facades, which were really in a very bad shape. And I decided to start with a very strong orange, like, you know, Dutch football team, kind of. And around noon, I received a phone call from the guy, the owner of the company, and he was terrified. He didn't know even to speak any foreign language, and he said, "I'm here in front of this supervisor who was a French guy. He's totally, totally nervous, and he's shouting on me. I don't know what he has." And at the same time, there are around 200 people. It's traffic jam. People have stopped the cars, and they are all watching this facade. And I went there. It was really incredible. It was like a huge accident in the middle of the street. It was traffic jam, and there were really a big crew of people watching this kind of 10 meter squares of orange in the middle of the gray, and shouting and laughing and all kind of reactions. And this French guy came to me and said, "This is outrageous. What the hell is this?" And I said, "This, we're painting the city." He said, what do you mean painting the city? This is terrible. It's painting the city. This is horror." And he said, "And we are paying for it. The European Commission is paying for it. So we'll stop it." I said, why you stop? He said, "Because it's out of any European standard." I said, "Okay. And can you show me anything around in the European standard?" And he said, "No, but, you know, we're not paying for the rest. You know, we're just paying for this." And I said to him, "Look, if you stop it, then I'll be very unpleased, but I have to do a press conference and say that the European Commission is doing exactly what the social Israelist art commissions were doing, you know, just telling what color is the sky, what color is the human skin." He said, no, don't do this, but we should find a compromise." I said, "Compromise is gray. There's no compromise. Compromise is gray." And then we went on with this. It changed forever the city. But what is more important, it changed the attitude of people. And Henri did a film, you may have seen, Dami Colori, but it changed a lot because these colors shake people, you know, brought back the city in the eyes of people. And from this, people started to behave differently, you know, and we had incredible results in the painted roads, for example. We had much better tax collection than in gray roads. In the painted roads, people would contribute, I mean, business, small business in the shops, or restaurants or whatever, would contribute with money to join us as municipality to plant trees and fix sidewalks and all this. And the most fascinating thing was that in the painted roads, people started to take off all kind of grids and protections and make totally transparent facades because they felt safe. And criminality rates, criminality figures were different. You know, it looks like fairy tale, but it's true. And so through coloring the city, we then started to change other things, of course. And this was the period when colors appeared in my drawings, because of being there on the table to decide in a not very democratic way, frankly, you know, what color will be this building and these are buildings. I know that at the end, in every international audience, there is a question how the decision-making process was made. But, you know, was quite centralized. But it brought to participation. So, as we tried to say in the film, coloring was not democratic, in a way, as a process, but was an avant-garde of democratization. You know? So this is how colors appeared in the drawings.
There is a reverse dynamic between the example of the city, they are very common and yet different, and the example of the doodles, of the drawings, because in a way, like you said, the colors impacted in the city. They impacted even the direct daily life sometimes of the people. Somehow even for political reasons, like you tell me that if somebody was for the Democratic Party, which associates to blue, and it happened their balcony was painted in red, it was a mini drama. Or things like this. While in the other side, in the drawings, there is a reverse situation. I think I can see how the drawings evolve, the choice of the colors, how much color you put on the drawings. And in a way, it's not the colors which impact what is on the paper, what is in their background, what is in the text, what is in the news, what is in the day, but it's what that day, what was the event of that day, what is written on that page that impacts the colors. So there is a completely 180-degree reversed dynamic.
And it's a dimension that the book brings in thanks to the way it's conceived and also to the wonderful work Quentin did. Connecting the dates, normally the drawings have dates, and connecting the dates of the drawing with headlines from the world or from the local events in the same double page create a completely new situation and gives to the drawing an added energy. So somehow, yes, these drawings are no abstract notes of, it's an abstract diary. But at the same time, bringing in the happenings during all this period connected with the dates, this diary become much more real for whoever is going through it. And then the third or the other very important element is what Henri did with the back side, which now is not anymore a backside, because practically these are frames with two sides. Creating the idea of the space between the drawing itself and the trace it leaves. It transpires as it is a space between the events, the conversations, the discussions, and the drawings themselves.
There was, I remember in one of these four conversations, which somehow was in an interesting way the toughest one, yours with Margus Steinbeck, there was this comparison between about blindness in philosophy and art and blindness in politics or semi-blindness, like how can one take political decisions or how does one take artistical decisions. Like, and you said at some point that when you are in the field of the politics, you can only be semi-blind. Mark was saying that to him it's very important, it's not only about semi-blindness and blindness, but it's about finding this preciseness in blindness. To him, that was where the quality of decisions, whether political or artistical, root themselves. And yet you say in a given moment that sometimes there is a moment when the intuition brings you further. Where is this moment when you can't, I'm citing, like where you don't know, you cannot see that there is a street there, but somehow you sense that there is a street, that there must be a street, that there must be a path to move on in that sense. What is this difference between the full blindness and the semi-blindness, which seems to be closer to the political act?
Now, these are conversations that, of course, have no frame in terms of communication. So, people are free to talk and to. Go towards different associations. Of course, you know, if I'm quoted tomorrow that semi-blindness is what you need in politics, in Albania they read it and I lose many votes. Because normally, you know, even you, if you are told by Angela Merkel that she is semi-blind, you are not happy. But what I wanted to say was that semi-blindness in a way that you need, and in fact you are all the time trying to see and to understand, at the same time you need to take risk. And when you take risk, it's not about something you are sure. It's not about, for example, the coloring of the city. In a moment that people were really desperate and people were really looking for something completely different and were not even imagining that this mayor they elected with 6%, the first thing would do would paint their building, was also risky. Because, and as a matter of fact, after we started, was not so obvious, because the opposition in papers and in radios and in television and was horrible. It was so noisy and so controversial that in a certain moment I started to fear that it was not working. And so we made a poll. We made a poll to ask people what people thought. And it's the most amazing poll I've seen in my life. Because 63% of people, they said that yes, they approve it. And the rest, they said they don't approve it. But to the second question, if they wanted to stop or to continue, 85% wanted it to continue. So half of the people that did not approve it didn't want it to stop. You know, it's very, very interesting. So they didn't approve it, but at the same time, they felt that this was change. This was something that was bringing somewhere. So they also were semi-blind when they you know. So in that respect, I think that there is something there about as it is something also that connects an artist with an elected. With an elected person, not a nominated person, but an elected. When you are a mayor and you are elected by people, you are like an artist that every day needs to get attention, need to get approval from people. It's the same for people in government, but. For the mayor is a bit more similar, because it's also connected with what you do, what do you do physically in the city, what do you do physically for people in neighborhoods, what do you do physically for youngsters and so on. The national government is a bit more abstract, maybe. So in this way, we were talking about blindness and semi-blind. And the German philosopher we were discussing, he was thinking that full blindness is the maximum. But, you know,
I think it was also meant as an intuition.
You know, I don't have this courage. You know, so.
I think there is also what you said in Dami Colori, that there is the relation between being an artist and being a mayor is the fact that you have a direct relation to an audience, whether it's the citizens and whether it's the your own audience, which means that you are somehow in the at the same time in a need of confirmation and yet wanting to take the risks, although there are different risks and different ways to, in each case.
It's also something that, as we try to say in the film, it's not something to be taken as an example, it's not something to be compared to anything, you know. Because you cannot paint Munich, it's impossible, you know, it's there. It's nothing to paint, really, you know. And that's why I would never like to become mayor in the city. You can paint Tirana because we have many of these old communist buildings which are really ugly and which are also very much deformed in time by people interventions, you know. It's not like here. There, during the 90s, you needed an additional room and you could do it without permission. You could break the ceiling, have an additional floor, separate with your parents, get married and be happy on the illegal part of the building. But all this transformed the buildings themselves. They became like being conceived by a surrogate of Daniel Libeskind, you know, totally deconstructed. And colors help to bring forms together, as it is, I think, obvious in the film. So it's not something to be taken as an example. It's just a reality, a very unique case with a very unique treatment and very unique way to salute it, because we didn't have many financial means. But we were punished to do whatever to bring back hope, to motivate people to recreate public space and the community. And the thing I would like to underline is that this helped us very much to create a sense of the public space and of the community after communism. Because during communism we had one of the most, I think, environmentally most cleanest places. But the problem was that all was state-owned, so all was ours, but nothing was mine as an individual. So people felt alienated, and the reaction, once they got freedom, was to just destroy what today they would not destroy anymore. But it was like burning the bridge to not let the enemy come back. It was psychological. So building rebuilding public space and sense of ownership in freedom was a totally different thing. And in a situation in which people have lost the meaning of fundamental words for a society, like volunteering, like solidarity, like belonging to the place. These were all words without meaning for us because were very inflationally used. So art, or I don't like to say art, but colors and the recreation of space through colors helped to create the sense of public space. And so we could go in the most difficult and dangerous step then, demolishing illegal buildings that were built during the first 10 years everywhere, in parks and everywhere. And so we We demolished many, many, around 5,000, and real buildings, not just. But so it's fascinating how through colors and not through through classical or old recipes, we created the space for change.
I also somehow felt when I was working on the book with your drawings over the 10 years, I had the feeling that that the days could be so different because they are related with daily events, especially in a country which we always approach a little bit, especially I remember when I was still there in the school, like so absurd things which were happening in a way that though they've been seen as very absurd from other more normalized contexts or countries or democracies. So in a way, when I was working with them, I always thought that somehow the colors and the doodle, this is what created community in between your days. But of course, like a different, an absent-minded community, but something which connected the days in a way that sometimes they may not have been connected. When I go through the pages, I cannot really decipher all the meaning of all the meetings, but still somehow someone gets the sudden feeling that, for example, having an awareness and a worry about the impact of plastic bags on Tirana. For example, this is a text that comes across. And then this would come across just a few months before there was a peaceful demonstration, and 4 people were shot by the army and died in the center of the city. So these are the kind of things that somehow you don't come across in other countries, where you have an awareness for some kind of emancipation and sensibility about trying to do with plastic bags and these kind of residues, and then suddenly have to do with this extreme primitive event of basically people being shot down. So somehow this unevenness of the events and the kind of 360-degree grade of the nature of this event felt to me like they were somehow connected in a way and framed together by this community of drawings. So they were making more community than the days itself themselves.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think also that because it is like this, there is also somebody being the head of the Socialist Party and doing these things. This is not part of, let's say, routine or normal situation. I don't think that in 15 years' time, whoever will be leading the Socialist Party will do the same thing. So it's part of the context, it's part of a period of time which is very complex with a lot of extremes. Like the extreme you mentioned, on one hand, a discussion about how to deal with environment and how to bring the community or the country forward, trying to have a better attitude, and on the other hand, 2 hours later or 2 days later, you have to deal with the consequences of a demonstration where people are killed. So it's kind of very tough and very extreme.
I think I don't know if this is being conceived as a that people can also ask questions, or whether it's possible to if somebody has a question, and whether that can be heard. But as we continue, everybody's welcome to open up a new question.
Maybe question would help to make it maybe more comprehensive also for you, because we are missing the third part, and you are missing someone that speaks in your behalf. So we are just making a dialogue that is that risks to be like my drawings on my text. So if you have questions, this may help.
Yes.
I would like to know and by the Minister of Education and the Secretary. And how many of these drawings are you think are lost, and which part is still
but
there?
They are made.
An idea about that.
You know, they are made to be sold or to be lost. You know, there is no middle way. I don't know. I can tell you that I've drawn every day in office. There is no day I'm in office that I don't draw. Then, how many they are lost? I don't know. I don't know. It's.
You said you were dying as an artist when you became major.
No, I died. I was not dying. This kind of attempt to resurrection, you know.
My question is, besides my feeling that you didn't die, could you sort of, in your thinking, think of sort of coming out of this grave and become...
Yeah, but it is, you know, it's an effort to resurrection, and you know, and but you know, Henri takes care of it. It's not I just.
But
you know, Henri is taking care of resurrecting me. You know, these are signs that I may be alive.
I think the equivalent of that is that one day when Eddie would be painting, but then while he's thinking of politics. It would be the equivalent of now working and without knowing you are doing art, and there would be a moment when you know that officially you are doing art, but your mind would be starting flying again into politics.
Yeah, maybe I would be a better politician then, I don't know. When I will not be anymore in politics.
If you stop being mayor, will you stop drawing pictures?
Say it again?
If you stop being mayor someday?
No, I have already stopped. No, I continue to lead the Socialist Party, which is not so colorful, but I that's why I have more colors in the drawings. I was mayor, I was elected in 2000. I was re-elected in 2003. I was re-elected in 2007. And in 2011, I was re-elected for the fourth time, but I was not lucky because elections were stolen afterwards. So I had to leave the municipality and to concentrate on leading the Socialist Party.
So you don't draw anymore?
No, I draw. Of course I draw.
So, but where?
In the office of the opposition leader.
I think what I find interesting in what is coming together today is that there is often a question that comes to us as artists, is like, are we producing reality? Or is like, is art producing a production of reality? And you're never sure for too long about the answer you give yourself. And there it's a case of you having produced reality, like you've produced reality in Tirana, but also the less conscious part of your daily activity producing a reality today with this exhibition. So it's a double production of reality, or everything you've been doing, including the unconscious part, is producing reality.
So he's somehow consolating me and telling me that you are resurrection, in a resurrection process, so don't worry.
No,
there
I
is
think...
life beyond death, you know.
To me, the question, and I think it also remains a question to you, is that if one day you would want to be more into art, into making art, how can you make art at that time without being immersed in another place?
Without having meetings with socialists, I mean, I don't know, it may be easier, it may be impossible, I don't know, it's something to be seen, but for the time being, I think it's working, and meetings are a very good environment to do what I do and to produce what I produce, and the result is good. Then when I would not have any more meetings and official papers and agendas and letters from international friends, then I don't know what will be in front of a white surface and surrounded by birds singing in the village. I don't know. Maybe then will be the crucifixion. I don't know. The final.
And there is always the danger when everything will become too normal.
Yeah, sure.
In the country as well. In the.
I had a very nice conversation with somebody very, very decent and very intelligent international figure, you know, but I don't want to mention names. And I always say that I had a grandmother that was fascinating and was a leading figure for me. And she always used to say, when I was a kid, and she always used to say to me, look, you know, you can be whatever, you can be sometimes not really very, very subtle. You can even lie sometimes, but please don't be boring. And in fact, if I would define Albania, Tirana, our life there, with one word, is never boring. And I was, but after telling all problems and all things to this person, and I said, at the end, it's never boring. He said, so, then the strategic objective for Albania is a boring Albania. So, to become normal and to become part of the normal reality of Europe. So when Albania will be boring, like Frankfurt, then I don't know. I don't know. It will be difficult.
What do you think about
what I think about whom?
Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong. This is a tough question, but you know, it's a tough question because we had this period. I was talking with some friends before, and I saw yesterday a wonderful exhibition with Henri about music in the Haus der Kunst, and I remembered going through this jazz and this artists and pictures and music. I remembered something of my high school period under the Chinese cultural, because Albania got out of the Soviet Union Empire and then connected to China. And the Cultural Revolution was very, very influential in Albania. It started with abolishing the religion in 1966. Big orgia against churches and against mosques and against priests and against religious books. And then with art and culture. And saxophone was physically forbidden, was like a forbidden weapon. So all people that had a saxophone had to sit on the dorso, to
bring them.
To just give up and to give it to the party, to the authority. Whoever, to the authorities. And I was in the high school. It was in 78, something like this. And a friend of mine was playing flute. He said to me, do you want to watch a saxophone? But it was like, you know, being a kid and being told, do you want to watch a naked woman, you know, for the first time in your life? Totally, you know, and even more, very dangerous. I said, okay, where is... And so we went with him and with two other friends. And our democratic revolution against the regime in 1990, just imagine, started from a party where students of the academy were gathering to commemorate the death of John Lennon, 10th anniversary, and listening for the first time in 1990 in a public space, Beatles. So it was totally isolated, totally I think that you cannot, we are not well placed to talk about his poems because we suffered from his way of making politics. So for you is a different situation. You didn't suffer any consequence of his politics, so you can enjoy his poems. For us, this is impossible. No, no, I mean in terms of I don't know. I discovered with somehow pleasure that many people in office made, and there is also a book about drawings in office where many people from, I don't know, Churchill to Reagan to others